This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 30th of August 2020. This week, we focus our attention on new amateurs. There's a report on a new licence class in Canada, and we have our weekly feature of Roy's Helpline. And in the new hams series of tips, tricks and information, I talk about taking notice of your gut instinct. Glenn, VK4DU, tells us about the ACMA band plan review. Chris, VK3QB, talks about what's happening at a national level. And we have a few reminders about what's going on around the place and more. This week the team is Roy, VK6XV, Jeff, VK6FJLM, Mike, VK6KMS, and myself, Bob, VK6PIP, the News West producer.
News West is produced by Amateur Radio News from a variety of resources. Opinions expressed in News West may not reflect the views of the news team or the broadcasters. News West is offered in the open spirit that is amateur radio.
Have you ever encountered a problem with your equipment and you think you know what's wrong, but you talk yourself out of it? Welcome to New Hams the Series, and today I'll give you sage advice on how you should follow your instinct. Those of you who dwell on every word that I say will recall that last week I mentioned the failure of a doublet antenna that I erected for the Remembrance Day contest. I had a gut feeling that the fault was simple, and it was. It was simply disastrous, because the antenna wasn't working in any useful way. It had poor reception, and when transmitting, the lights in my shack were modulating along with the modulation of the RF. A doublet antenna is a dipole that is fed with an open wire feeder, or if you prefer to call it, a ladder line, and is a useful antenna because it can be used on multiple bands. I built the ladder line so that it could be used for various antennas. On the top or antenna end, it has a couple of Anderson connectors. When I make a wire antenna, there are corresponding Anderson connectors, so it's click and connect. I had an idea that one of the Andersons had let go. However, I didn't convince myself sufficiently to take a look. And the more I thought about it, the larger and more complex I imagined the fault to be. So a couple of days ago, a week and a half after the contest, I untied a rope and lowered the antenna. And yes, an Anderson connector had let go. A faulty crimp was the culprit. I was amazed that the faulty crimp had held for a couple of years and several uses of the ladder line. So I attached a new Anderson plug, connected it, and hoisted the antenna back up. 10 minutes is all it took, and the antenna works fine, just as it should. The lesson learned, if in fact I have learned it, is that often your gut instinct will give you the right answer. Follow your gut feeling. I'm Bob, VK6PIP.
New hams. Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, the Bunbury Radio Group, or the Radio and Electronics School, and getting your foundation license. To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained, upgraded, or renewed their license in the past month. A few of these may still be awaiting payment, so be sure to check your status with the ACMA. At Advanced, Martin. At Standard, Michael. At Foundation, Brett and Danny. For new calls, congratulations on joining Amateur Radio. And if you're a dab hand, enjoy your new on-air identity. Of course, if you hear these calls on air, please make them feel welcome. In case you're wondering, there are 1,409 amateur licenses held in VK6 today. A concern is that this trend of net loss of licenses has been going on for some months, maybe another manifestation of the so-called COVID-19 vortex.
Next week in News West, we talk about contesting, and we'll go through all the usual stuff about contests in Australia, and selected other contests that you might feel inclined to participate in. We'll also have news from Ed, VK2JI, and Delta Delta 5 Lima Papa, of a brand new contest coming soon to airwaves near you, with a new way of scoring and levelling the playing field. This contest should appeal to newcomers to the hobby as well as old hands, so don't miss next week's contesting edition of News West. While on the subject of contesting, the Remembrance Day contest manager, Alan, VKE4, Sierra November, reports that logs have been flowing in thick and fast. Keep up the good work, folks, as entries close at 0300 Zulu on the 30th of August. That's 11 a.m. Western Standard Time today. VKE6s have surged past the number of logs for 2019, and it's important that your log is submitted, even if only for a handful of contacts. Submit your log via vklogchecker.com, that is vklogchecker.com, or send the log as an attachment to rdlogs@wia.org.au.
You are listening to VK6 ARN.
The VK6 Club calendar is maintained by WA Amateur Radio News members and is displayed under the Meetings menu on the VK6.net website. This calendar contains what we believe to be up-to-date information about your club meetings. The calendar caters for regular, repeated meetings, as well as one-off calendar events. All you need to do is request additions or changes to be made by sending an email to newswest@vk6.net. It's as simple as that. Earlier this year, when everything was shutting down for the sake of community safety as COVID-19 was descending on us, we flagged all club meetings as being in recess. It's probably true that no clubs are in recess at the moment, and there are many entries in the club calendar that need to be amended, updated, or removed. So that's where you come in. We're asking that someone, a person, and I'm sure you won't need to have a meeting and several votes about it, takes a look at vk6.net, clicks on the meetings menu item, and checks out what there's there for their club. They can then finish off this task by sending an email to newswest@vk6.net telling us that it's fine, thank you very much, or perhaps asking us to change this or that or the other. Only a few minutes' work. Likewise, there's a calendar on the WIA website, right there in the front page. And if you put your forthcoming events in there, your event gets a plug in the WIA National News. But there's a bottom line. There's always a bottom line. Someone has to actually do this stuff. It doesn't happen spontaneously, and nobody else will do it for you. Over to you.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the President of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. The ACMA had issued a public consultation on changes to the Australian Spectrum Plan brought about by decisions made at the last World Radio Conference. The main change affecting amateurs is removal of broadcasting services from the 7100 to 7200 kHz segment of our 40 metre band. This allocation was suppressed internationally in 2009. Cheers for now.
Newcomers to a hobby such as amateur radio can be easily overwhelmed when it comes to setting themselves up for the hobby. A newcomer to the hobby once asked, "How much will this hobby cost me?" The reply was very predictable. How much money do you have? Let's get one thing out of the way first. If you've got lots of ready cash that you're itching to spend on radio gear and you're not going to be taking food out of the kids' mouths, then go for it. Knock yourself out. Spend up. I'm sure the providers of amateur radio equipment will appreciate the business. There's nothing wrong with this approach if you've got the money. Many of us, however, have to be a bit more cautious, buying secondhand where we can and building stuff also where we can. Building some of your equipment can give you a great amount of satisfaction, and in doing so, a heck of a lot of the theoretical stuff in the AOCP course starts making sense. Very few people these days construct their own transceivers and amplifiers. Some do, and good luck to them. But most of us are black box operators, meaning that we buy factory-built, commercially marketed equipment. In terms of bang for buck, feature for feature, modern transceivers represent amazing value for money compared with equipment of 40 or more years ago. If you're considering buying secondhand, just be aware of the asking price. Some sellers love their radios. They paid a premium for the rig 15 years ago and are probably asking more than the rig is really worth. As a yardstick, check out the price of a brand new rig that occupies a similar position in the market. As a yardstick, check out the price of a brand new rig that occupies a similar position in the market. For instance, is it an entry-level radio, mid-range, or top of the line? You might be better off buying a new rig for a few hundred bucks more, along with a decent warranty. Have a go at constructing your own antennas and feed lines. You'd learn a lot and gain lots of satisfaction, even though you'll probably end up buying one or more commercially made antennas later on. I, for one, construct my own antennas and only have one commercially made on the premises. Your greatest obstacle to getting your antennas up in the air, not counting the old spatial attenuator, are the lack of space in urban settings. And what will the neighbours think? Get to know your neighbours. And with a bit of discussion over a beer, or two or three, they might agree to allowing you to run your wire antenna along the fence line, and maybe theirs. Wire antennas are very unobtrusive. Good luck with setting up your new installation, and welcome to the hobby.
One piece of kit that anyone starting out in amateur radio is likely to obtain sooner rather than later is an antenna tuner. There are a few types of tuners available, and some are built into the HF radio that you have purchased. So let's begin by saying that an antenna tuner is not essential to your amateur radio life. You can operate your radios for a lifetime without ever having owned or used an antenna tuner. Think on that, and I'll tell you why later on. Because firstly, I want to tell you that an antenna tuner isn't. And it doesn't. It isn't a device that tunes your antenna, and it never will. A crappy antenna will remain a crappy antenna, even though the tuner has matched the impedances at the feed line. I asked an old hand amateur to help with a Jota station several years ago, and together we set up the equipment. When it came to using the antenna tuner, he was stumped. He was stumped not because he didn't know much about radio, but because he had never had to use one. You see, he always built his antennas to be well matched to the radio, so he didn't need to use a tuner. Another name for what we call an antenna tuner is an antenna matching device, and this description is more accurate. Think about an antenna, and for this exercise we'll consider a simple dipole. If the dipole is cut to the correct length to be resonant at the frequency of interest, all will be well, won't it? Well, yes, to a point, and we'll get back to it in a moment. Modern radios are built to expect a 50 ohm impedance on the feed line. If there's more than 50 ohms or less, the SWR, the standing wave ratio, becomes too high. And that's a whole new subject for another day. Now, the modern radio has a protection circuit built in that will wind back power output so that the energy, that is current and voltage, that is reflected back down the feed line, is decreased and the radio protects itself from that reflected energy. Do you get that? When the SWR is high, the radio senses that and it backs off the power so that it won't cook itself. That's what the matching device does. Using a circuit comprising of variable capacitance and inductance, it presents the radio with a nice, neat 50 ohm impedance, so the radio sends all of its power out. Now back to our dipole. If it's perfectly resonant, it's okay, isn't it? The answer to that is a definite maybe, because if your dipole is pulled straight and is resonant, the feed point impedance is about 72 ohms. And there are other variables like height above the ground. And the slight impedance mismatch will give you an SWR of perhaps 1.5 to 1. And at that level, the radio will work okay. And you can adjust the feed point impedance by bringing the dipole legs down towards the feed line, forming an inverted V, until the impedance is 50 ohms. So you see, you can live without a tuner. However, life becomes simpler when you can use one, because when you move your frequency, the characteristics of the antenna and feed point change. A simple dipole can be tweaked quite easily to allow you to connect the coax directly to the back of the radio. Of course, your radio life becomes more complex if you start using antennas for multi-band operation, because the feed point impedance could swing about a bit as you change bands depending on the type of antenna and feed line that you're using, and an antenna matching device will quickly match the impedance for you. So if you're going to buy an antenna matching device or tuner, there's some things you need to consider and some decisions you'll have to make. Are you going to buy an automatic one or a manual one? Some automatic units bail out if the measured SWR is over a certain level, or if a preset lower level can't be achieved. Are you keen on using coax and only coax? Or are you going to use a parallel feed line and or a long wire? Think first about the type of antennas that you'll be using. Some tuner matcher units only make provision for coax. Coax in from the antenna, coax out to the radio. If you think you'd be using a long wire or an open wire feed line, get a matching device that has those connections at the back. And power handling, many units on the market can handle about 120 watts and some 300, they're the most common ones. And if you want to handle higher power, you usually have to spend a bit more on a unit that will handle that power. The ideal position for a matching device is at the antenna feed point. However, that's not always practical and the unit is usually placed inside the shack. So good luck with your antenna tuner or matcher, whatever you prefer to call it. Something I can guarantee is that it will earn its living once you have it up and running. I'm Bob, VK6PIP.
Hello, this is Chris, VK3QB, with news from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. RASA membership renewal. It's that time of year. If you're a RASA member, it's time to renew your membership. Please head across to our website and click the Join or Renew menu item at the top of the screen. And the website is vkradioamateurs.org. And thanks to all our members for your support. Now a recap of the new call sign template and Zoom information sessions. Changes from ACMA's recent changes to the call sign template have started flowing through the system, and for almost 3 weeks we've been hearing new call signs on the air. There's been some confusion observed on social media and heard on air. So to recap, Foundation licensees now gain access to three-letter suffix call signs. Four-letter Foundation license F call signs will no longer be available for new applicants. When a Foundation licensee upgrades, he or she must apply for a new three-letter call sign. And call signs with three-letter suffixes are now available to all three license classes. Call signs with any three-letter suffix apart from R are now available to all three license classes. There are no restrictions or call sign blocks. It's an all-for-all model. Repeaters and beacons will continue to use the R suffix of call signs. Advanced licenses will continue to use two-letter suffix call signs. For more information, contact the AMC at www.amc.edu.au. You can check call sign availability at AMC, and there is also a handy lookup tool, vklookup.info. Once again, vklookup.info. RASA also have an information page with an FAQ section. Just head to our website and follow the links, vkradioamateurs.org. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia is offering a short 30-minute Zoom presentation about these important changes for clubs. There will also be plenty of opportunity for questions. If your club would like a Zoom presentation, please send us an email. And the email address is info@vkradioamateurs.org. Now to some updated news on 60 metres. Earlier this week, RASA sought an update on 60 metres. ACMA have advised that submissions to their paper on 60 metre sharing between amateurs and commercial services are being analysed and will be considered by the ACMA board in the next couple of months. We'll keep you posted on any developments. Now, education and training. Are you considering obtaining your licence or upgrading and looking for support with education? Has your local club's training sessions been impacted by COVID restrictions, or you just can't find something local? If you're in Perth, then Ham College is the place to go. For more information, visit hamcollege.org.au. If you're anywhere else in the country, or can't attend Ham College face-to-face, then the radio and electronics course is for you. Ron, VK2DQ, and his team of facilitators offer the best remote and online courses in Australia. The Radio and Electronics School has been running since 1997, and Ron has also written a theory handbook tailored to Australian conditions. For more information, visit www.res.net.au. Once again, www.res.net.au. And of course, to schedule an exam, head to the Australian Maritime College at amc.edu.au. And now an announcement for the upcoming QTC e-magazine. Watch out for the September-November edition of QTC. It's due out in the next week or so. It's free and it's available in two digital formats. Send us an email if you'd like to be added to our email notification list. And to tie up the news, just a reminder, if you haven't renewed your RASA membership for 2020-21, head to our website and follow the links. And once again, thanks to our supporters and members. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and 7-3 from Chris, VK3QB, for the Radio Amateur Society of Australia.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
This from Adrian, VE7NZ. Amateur radio operators will be excited to hear that a new class of license will be available starting September the 1st, 2020, the Quiet Radio Transmitter or QRT license. To qualify for this license, you need to simply agree to never transmit. A 2019 study found that 73% of hams never transmit. Most interestingly, the study found a third of those not only don't want to transmit, but object to others transmitting, preferring to have silence for hours, if not days on end. As one survey respondent said, "We invested over $1,000 in equipment to set up our club's repeater, and yet people think they can just use it as if it was a hobby. It is really bothersome to hear someone looking for a QSO. It only encourages others to join in, and before you know it, everyone's on air disturbing the peace and the quiet." Responding to the survey's results, commercial interests proposed the QRT license be created. During the consultation period, no one from the ham community spoke up, confirming that the license was a perfect match to the needs of many hams. One exception was a special interest group who requested an endorsement be created allowing for frequent short transmission, such as ker-chunking of repeaters, provided you never say your call sign, or dialing DTMF to turn off a link. A second endorsement was also agreed to after a letter was received from a meeting held at Tim Hortons requesting that some QRT licensees should be able to say, "That's not a real ham radio," whenever someone is talking about new technology. A third endorsement, the stuck microphone with road noise, was not adopted, as this was agreed to be a form of lengthy transmission, something that it was in opposition to the spirit of the new license. Hearing the news, a local amateur instructor and examiner said, "This really is a game changer. The QRT license can be earned in a single day, except for the ker-chunking endorsement, which can take an extra day to practice using a test repeater we have set up in the classroom. Mind you, some people think the extra day is worth it, as you can earn a new ker-chunked all repeaters award in as little as 24 hours, using just a simple handheld radio. Commercial interests across the country are welcoming the arrival of the QRT license. Speaking at a Spectrum auction, an industry representative said, "This really speeds up the process of taking back our VHF and UHF spectrum from the ham community. As people see the benefits of a QRT license, such as no antennas, longer battery life, no RFI, etc., they will quickly see that it makes sense to hand over the spectrum to us so more kids can send more emoticons to each other instead of wasting their time experimenting with electronics. Is your license a QRT license? Perhaps consider upgrading." This is VE7NZ Adrian.
The linked repeater network that carries the WA Amateur Radio News broadcast every week is supplied and maintained by the West Australian Repeater Group, or WARG, a volunteer not-for-profit amateur radio association founded in 1975. On behalf of all West Australian amateurs, we thank WARG for their valuable contribution to amateur radio in VK6, past, present and in the future.
Are you looking for resources to help you set up or develop your equipment? You don't need to look far. Peter, VK6YSF, Yankee Sierra Foxtrot, has a website with loads of projects that he's tackled, tested and documented. This website is a great resource for us because Peter uses locally sourced materials for his projects. There's a particularly well-stocked section on antennas, balans and unans. Everything you wanted to know but were afraid to ask. So take a look for yourself. The website is VK6YSF.com, VK6YankeeSierraFoxtrot.com. And likewise, on the other side of the country, Peter VK3YankeeEcho has a website, YouTube channel, and has published books with simple practical ideas and projects. Peter's website is VK3YankeeEcho.com. And there was a note turned up from Tim, VK6ECHO India. Tim's the Vice President of the Northern Corridors Radio Group. Tim advises that the Northern Corridor Radio Group decided at its recent meeting to cancel Hamfest 2020. In its place, the club expects to announce a raffle to be conducted online once the necessary permits are in place. So watch this space for announcement. Thanks for that advice, Tim.
Greetings and good morning. This is Amateur Radio Helpline for the 30th of August 2020, and it's the last day of winter. Tomorrow, first day of spring on Tuesday, 1st of September. K6XV with this week's helpline for the 30th of August. Today I have for sale a mast. It's a 75 foot or 23.8 metres in the new money in tallness. If you'd like a mast, a three-section crank-up, I presume. And in good working order, triangular spacing and made of steel, says John. Make John a realistic offer on this mast if you're interested. He may be contacted on his mobile, on his phone, not a mobile phone. John may be contacted on his phone, which is 08-9291-7908. That's John VK6 Alpha Uniform up in Les Murdy, 08-9291-7908. Next item wanted. We're looking for anyone who can repair an ICOM receiver. It's a Papa Charlie Romeo 2500. The main band side has stopped working. The main board, the band side, it says the main band side has stopped working. The subboard is 100%. But if anyone can help, please contact Alan. It's VK6 Tango Delta Fox on telephone 0406-714-719 in Narrogin. That's the VK6 Tango Delta Fox 0406-714-719. And that is all I have for this week. So if you'd like to contact me for any item, please do so. My email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Again, that's VK6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And until next time we meet, 7-3.
Well, as you heard earlier in the program, next week we're into contesting, and we've got news of a new contest that looks to be very interesting in its concept. Of course, we'd love to hear your contesting stories, so don't hold back. Send your stories, advice, or whatever about contesting as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. Thanks to the NewsWest team, thanks to casual contributors, and special thanks to the broadcast team for putting us to air. Please remember to hang around for callbacks at the end of the broadcast, and if callbacks don't happen, jump in and do them yourself. Then report the numbers to Mark on the VK6 RAP repeater. So have a great week, folks. On Tuesday, we'll be springing into spring, and what better time of the year to get on air and make some noise.